Hi, I'm Heather Dinwiddie, a reporter at Sustainable Growth Voice. The following interview was recorded during the recent All Energy and Decarbonize Conference at the SECC in Glasgow.
Hi, I'm here with Alan, who's Sustainability Director at Malt MacDonald. Thanks for taking the time. So just to dive in, perhaps you can maybe kind of tell us a bit more about your role and what the company does, what you do for the company.
Sure. So I head up sustainability for Malt MacDonald in Scotland, Ireland and Northern Ireland. So we work across a range of sectors, and you know, the reality is now pretty much all of our clients have got net zero targets and have got stretching sustainability ambitions. So it's my job to kind of understand them and see how we best help them and meet their needs in terms of sustainability.
So Malt MacDonald, you're an engineering consultancy, yeah. Essentially, I understand it. And how have you kind of seen that landscape transform over the past sort of 5-10 years towards sustainability?
Well, it's changed a lot, because I used to describe my job as, you know, annoying people, and the reality is now there's fewer people to annoy, because as I say, a lot of companies really understand where they need to go in terms of being more sustainable, because not only does it, you know, it saves them money, it reduces emissions, but it also creates jobs. So if you're doing it well, you know, it works really well in terms of across the economic, environmental and social aspects of business. So it's a really interesting area to work in.
And are there any kind of patterns you see in sort of the challenges that people are facing, any sort of recurring trends there?
I think there's trends in terms of some of the language. So I've just been at a session around the circular economy, which, you know, we used to call resource efficiency, but it's taken it to a new level. You know, net zero is very much the zeitgeist. Everyone wants to achieve net zero, which we have to do with the legally binding targets. So I think there's always been a desire to be more sustainable, but certain aspects of that will be more flavoursome at different times, which might be based, say, on government policy or just the language that's been used.
And in terms of the sort of solutions that you're able to provide for people, I imagine it's not as easy as just sort of being a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. So can you kind of speak a bit to that and sort of how you're able,
sure,
to sort of tailor your approach to different clients?
Well, there's different sectors have different challenges. So a lot of the companies we work with are involved in infrastructure. So we've got a big group who does a lot of work on low-carbon concrete. So that's a kind of common theme as a material. But we're also very interested in place-based approaches. So a more sustainable approach for Aberdeen might be very different to the approach for Glasgow. There will be shared elements, but there are certain aspects about place that offer them advantages and how they become more sustainable, whether that's human resources, physical resources, location, how they're impacted by, you know, the weather and the climate, because not only do we need to consider climate change mitigation, we also need to think about how we adapt our places and spaces to a changing climate.
Now, place-based approaches is something that I've come across in this event sort of more frequently, yeah, than I had before. And I don't know if that's because I've been a bit selective in the panels that I've attended.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting to me is that the idea of place-based solutions, it's essentially sort of, from what I understand anyway, is kind of taking the needs, the desires, the barriers of the specific context of that place into account. But then how can you kind of replicate that approach and learn from it and sort of teach with it?
Yeah, interesting question. I think there's, you know, if you're talking about cities, a lot of cities will try and decarbonize through changing travel behaviors, whether it's trying to get people out of their cars and onto bikes and public transport. So that's a fairly common approach across all cities in terms of transport. In terms of energy, then that may vary. So, you know, we've seen in Clydebank, we've got the river source heat pump. Not all cities have a river, many do, but so it's about using the assets of the place. You know, Glasgow's a great example, because, you know, we've got Scottish Power's Whiteley Wind Farm, you know, one of the biggest in Europe, right on our boundary here, but that's because of the ability to capture the wind from that location. So that's not going to be the same for all cities. So it's there are some things you can replicate from city to city in terms of approaches, but there will be something about the physicality and location of the city that means there might be something more appropriate you could do, or something more targeted. And another element of that is, you know, what sort of groups, what sort of industries exist within that city? You know, what is it famous for? You know, so Glasgow, there's a lot of work going around sort of the conference sector and manufacturing. So what are the sustainable solutions that would meet those specific sectors that are prominent within cities?
So So I suppose kind of as you build up sort of a base of case studies, if you will, of sort of like different places, you can kind of build a sort of pick and mix toolkit thing. So one city can see all the other cities you've worked with and say, well, we've got that feature, we'll take this, we've got that industry.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've done lots of work on metro schemes around the world, and we're very aware that there's the proposals in Scotland and Glasgow for the Clyde Metro, so we're very interested in bringing the expertise and experience we've had from other cities, whether it's in the UK or further afield, and replicating them, you know, closer to home.
And can you tell us a little about any of your sort of your current projects, or perhaps any sort of future goals you have, next steps?
Sure. One of the projects we're working on at the moment is very interesting, is the redevelopment of Sullombow Oil and Gas Terminal to be a green energy hub, so to start to capture some of the offshore wind. They're also looking at then electrification of offshore assets. There's issues about the decommissioning of some of the assets that are out in the oil, in the North Sea, the oil rigs, or the opportunities for the recycling of the steel, going back to the circular economy thing. So that's a particularly interesting project because it's very much about the energy transition, but it's also about the just transition. And one of the things that's been interesting about that project is that the people who work there, while being involved in oil and gas, they now see there's still employment to be had through, you know, new renewable technologies. So it's creating longevity in terms of employment and training opportunities as well.
I mean, circular economy is sort of another kind of passion of my own, I will say, but I suppose is that kind of the bridge between the local, the national, the global, essentially? And sort of what do you see as being kind of the role for each? What can we learn from each different sort of scale of approach, if that makes sense?
Well, again, there's been a presentation on circular economy in the wind industry, and there's a company, Renewable Parts, and they were talking about the work they do in terms of remanufacturing and using old parts and turbines for new turbines. And it's a fantastic success story. And we're also talking about comparisons with the aviation industry, where a lot of the parts in planes are reused. So it's about gaining a degree of credibility that these parts are reliable. But, you know, if there's something happening in Scotland around the remanufacture, the reuse of parts for turbines, that's a global industry. So there you have a locally based company who can service a much wider sector, which operates across the world.
It's interesting, you kind of think of these sort of like localised hubs, but then they can all be brought in together and network with one another.
I love that. And another, you know, example I've seen, you know, there's a big debate about turbines. You see some cases where they've been landfilled, which is not great, but you're also seeing more creative solutions where they're used as you know, bike storage. There's shelters for bike storage, or I believe in Cork the turbines have been used to create a bridge. So it's about stretching your imagination, considering the opportunities for those materials.
And it must be a hard job for someone like yourself, just kind of keeping up with all the different developments that are going on in all these different places. So how do you manage that sort of process of innovation? And big question,
yeah.
Something
like LinkedIn is fabulous, just for, because people always come on there to talk about good stuff. They don't come on and go, well, this was a failure. So there's lots of good material there across all the sectors you can learn from, and whether it's a city approach or an industry approach, then that's fine. But there's also lots of journals, there's, you know, things like ICE, there's lots of organisations who are putting a big effort into to celebrating, you know, the good stuff. And it is actually one of my bugbears that, you know, we have so many pilot projects that work really well. We're not so good at scaling them up. And if you listen to the debate, the overall debate in the last 2 days, it's about scaling up, it's about pace, it's about change. And that's honestly too slow at the moment. So if something works, why not just do it? We don't need another study to make sure it works. Let's just get on and do it.
It sounds like you've sort of taken quite a few kind of lessons away from All Energy just from this conference. So, I mean, how have you found your time here?
I've been coming for years, and I just think it's a brilliant conference. So, you know, I know a lot of people here, so it's been great to catch up with them. There's a lot of our clients here. We've been able to introduce people to each other. So there's a company from Belfast called Catagen over. We do some really interesting work in the hydrogen space. I've introduced them to the Scottish Hydrogen Fuel Cell Association, the Scottish Government and others. So it's about creating those networks, because, you know...
Another point of learning, yeah, I suppose,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's those networks that create things and opportunity and drive the sustainability message forward.
And as someone who's been coming for years, are you seeing that shift?
Still too slow. I'm still seeing lots of good examples, but the delivery is still too slow. And again, you know, as I say, that's been a common theme, that there's a degree of frustration in the industry, that there's quite a lot of blockers still, whether that's around regulation, planning, and I'm not having a go at planning, because I am a planner and I know that, you know, there's a lack of resources there, but there's lots of bits of the system that need to work better so that there can be better integration between all the systems.
Well, here's hoping that that building frustration reaches a tipping point.
I hope so.
At some point soon.
Yes.
And I mean, yeah, I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know it's been a busy couple of days, but is there anything else you'd like to add, or perhaps if you wanted to tell us where we can find more information about Mott MacDonald and what you're doing?
Yeah, well, certainly on our website, there's lots of information there. We're also a company that does a lot of collaboration. So yeah, I would suggest look at the website. And if there's anything else you want to know, then, you know, just contact us, and happy to help.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I believe that's us done.
Thank you.